I'm about to share the most difficult part of my story. Please forgive me if I am a little restrained or there's a tone in my voice that isn't relaxed, because this is the most difficult thing for me to share with you. I'm doing it because I want to be honest, and I'm doing it because I want to show the grace of God to people who fall so many times. Do you think that it's three times and you're out for you? No. How many times shall a man be forgiven? Jesus was asked. He said, I tell you, not 70 times, but 70 times 7. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens. Thank you for joining me today. You're listening to Good News. This is the good news about Jesus revealed through the book of Romans. But presently, I'm telling my story, and I'll get starting to in Romans in a few more weeks. Stay tuned. I like to look at the experience of being among those green hills south of Reading, Pennsylvania, after being in New York at Green Hills Health Center. I like to look at that experience as God taking me into the wilderness. You know, don't you think that many times God does that? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And there were still waters, by the way, on that 72 acres too, a nice little stream hidden among the trees. Really, I think that God took me into the wilderness to commune with me, to love me, to restore me, to help me, to move me forward in my journey. Even though the struggles and the pains and the defeats weren't over, it was a special time, and I look back on it as one of the most important periods in my growing life. The people who've survived the sword, says Jeremiah, and certainly I survived many dangers in New York City. The people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when I went to give him rest. That's Jeremiah 31, verse 2. The people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when I went to give him rest. And certainly the Lord gave me rest there in many, many, many ways. Well, some friends knew about a woman in Andrews University, back to Andrews again, named Sharon, and they had met her there when they were studying there. And, of course, then they knew me, and they talked about her and said, you know, you two would make a good couple. Well, I was, of course, afraid, nervous. I was excited as well about the possibility, but I was quite timid about it because I didn't know still whether I could really be a married man. And yet Sharon and I got to know each other. I went up there for 4 or 5 days at a time. She would come down to Reading, Pennsylvania, 3 or 4 or 5 days at a time. And we got to know each other. We became friends and we came to love each other. We fell in love. Well, to the extent that I knew how to love as a heterosexual man. But we had fun together. We laughed together. She was a very humorous person, and she made me laugh a lot, and she had a very interesting intellect, and she was a student of psychology. So we had a fair amount in common. She was a Christian too. And believe it or not, 6 months later, 6 months after we met, we married. I had told Sharon about my background, though I don't think, looking back, that I told her enough, but she was willing to take the risk, and that is what we did. We found a little home, a little rented home, an old stone house with 3-foot walls. I mean, literally, the walls were 3 feet thick around the house, and there we lived for the next 17 years. Our intimacy was beautiful for the first 10 years, and I also remember beautiful times where we would have friends over on a Saturday evening for dinner, and then we'd sit by the fireplace in the evening, and we'd some would be on the floor. We'd have about three or four couples. Some would be on chairs, some would be on the floor and sofa, and we'd read together. We'd read our favorite stories or our favorite poems, and we'd laugh, and we'd have catch up on each other's week. It was quite a memorable experience. And I remember Sharon and I walking through the fields. Behind my house, behind that little house, was a large garden, and then beyond that was an orchard, and on the top of a hill was a gingerbread church, and across the road from that, the little country road, was a cemetery. And it was all very picturesque, very beautiful. During those years, we had our first child, Chris, 3 years after we were married. And then we had our second child, 3 years later, Bren. I cannot describe to you what an awesome experience that was. Of course, the birth of children is always awesome, isn't it? But it was especially awesome for me because I knew that without faith, without the faith that God had given me, this child, Chris, and this child, Bren, would never have been born. I am awed by that even as I speak of it this moment, that faith can lead to the creation of life, that faith does amazing things. And I have always looked at Chris and Bren, even though they go presently through their own serious struggles, as children brought into the world by the Lord, who gave a faith to me. And I know somehow, and I don't know when or where, that they will serve the Lord in some special capacity. I don't push it upon them. I don't urge it upon them. I suggest it maybe once or twice every year or two. But it is an awareness that I have, and I think it will come to pass. Now, wouldn't you like the story to end there? Yes, so would I have. In fact, at that time, I was thinking of writing a book. And, of course, this would be the "And They Lived Happily Ever After." But there was no happily ever after. It wasn't to be. During that time, while I was at Green Hills Health Center and then moved to our little stone cottage, I began to develop a ministry in a very simple way, but I believed that I had learned so much about grace, so much about faith, so much about how we trust in Christ as our righteousness rather than try to create a perfection of our own, that I wanted to share that with others. I wanted to tell others. I was known somewhat in the church that I was a member of, and a certain college invited me to give a week of prayer, as it's called, a time where a visiting speaker comes to the college campus and the Christian college campus and gives sermons or presentations once in the morning, once in the evening for a week, and then there are prayer bands, prayer groups that gather together. But though I was invited to do that by the student body, I was turned down by the head of that conference, the president of that conference, because he said, "Well, what happens if people find out about your past?" I said something that I've always remembered. I said, "Well, if they find out about my past, it will be all the more reason to talk about God's mercy and grace to me." But it didn't come off. Though several students, came to see me, and we had conversations at Green Hills Health Center, and I had a few classes and some teachings in the gospel. I wanted to share with them, through Romans, what I had found out. And it was especially important for me to do that because the denomination, the church that I belonged to, as I mentioned earlier, was a perfectionistic church. It believed in the perfecting of a last-day people. It was a very legalistic church in many, many corners. And to proclaim the gospel, to speak of Jesus as he is revealed by Paul in the book of Romans, is an enormously liberating experience for someone who's been in that denomination all his life or for many years. Some others who were in leadership positions and had heard of my loss of ministry in New York invited me to talk to them and visit them. One was an editor of a magazine, a youth magazine in the denomination. He invited me to write articles, and I did. I wrote a series of three articles. And quite honestly, I don't know what to make of this today, but I wrote on homosexual recovery through grace in Jesus Christ. It was premature. I wish I had written about grace for all sinners, grace for every man and woman with struggles of one thing or another. But this issue was deeply etched on my mind in regard to or vis-à-vis the grace of Jesus, and so I did. I wrote about it. But this created an image for me of one who'd recovered, of one who was healed. And it gave a wrong impression because I was still struggling and I still had that orientation and I had not the integrity to hold my marriage together. In the process of growing to the degree that I had grown, I had learned how positively to approach my own sexual intimacy instead of simply crushing it or repressing it. And instead of simply holding it in check, there's no growing maturity in sexuality where sexuality is simply held in check and repressed. It has to have a positive form to it. And I taught that in counseling. But I didn't know my boundaries. There were touches that were inappropriate. And it led to the collapse of the ministry about 12 years later in 1986. How does God handle a sinner and an unwise man, a foolish man? Intelligent though I am, as Dr. Edwin Halston said, Colin, you're socially stupid. How does a man survive? But by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, by the belief that I am still counted as righteous in Him, though I have shamed myself and my family, I can get up again. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he pleads my case and executes justice for me. He will bring me forth to the light. I will see his righteousness. That was my heart's cry. Micah 7, verses 8 and 9. It's hard to swallow this, isn't it? It is, and it is hard for me to share it, quite honestly. If you still believe in this ministry, and if you would still like to support it, I would be very glad to receive your support, because the message is still going forth that God has sent Jesus Christ to be the success that we have failed to be the righteousness that we have failed to be. And so if you'd like to support the ministry, please write FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. Thanks for your support. Thanks for your prayers. And I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.